This podcast is a production of The Orchard, a church community located in Aurora, Illinois, whose mission is leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Visit us online at orchardvalleyonline.com.
I don't know how many of you saw, I think it was this last week, maybe the week before, the Space Shuttle Discovery launch. You guys see that? But there was a pretty interesting photo that showed up in the news the last few days. It was a photo of actually a bat that was found clinging to the side of the spaceship. Here's a picture of it, I think, right there. That bat was trying to go to outer space. Now, I don't know if it actually made it, but at least he could say he tried, right? Yeah. Everybody's trying to get to outer space, including the bats. But you know, this got me thinking. Got me thinking about how we all, as humans, have done a pretty good job of exploring outer space, haven't we? But I wonder how good of a job we have done at exploring this thing called inner space. Yeah, you know, it's that part of us that exists, I guess you could say, sort of beneath the surface. Take this iceberg, for example. You know, on the surface, it may not look like much, but once you get beneath the surface, you realize there's a lot more to it, don't you? I mean, there's a lot happening below the surface. In fact, it's what's below the surface that caused the Titanic so much trouble, right? And I think our lives are a lot like that. You know, I think so many of us end up shipwrecked or living these inconsistent lives because of not so much of what we see above the surface, but because of what is going on below the surface. And so I think that's why a series like this, you know, the series Baggage, has been such an important series to us. I didn't say it was an easy series for us, because let's face it, I mean, getting honest and getting to the truth and really dealing with some of these things, it's not always an easy thing to do, is it? But at the same time, I mean, it's why it's at the same time probably one of the most powerful and healing things that could ever happen. I mean, these last few days, some of your emails have just blown me away at how God has worked with inside of you and has begun helping you to release that baggage. I think all of us, and I think it's why Jesus said, look, the truth sets us free. When you really get honest with yourself and really when you really get down to the truth of the matter, it brings freedom to our lives. And so this weekend, as we bring this series to a close, we're going to get honest about one more piece of baggage. And it's a piece of baggage that I think probably ends up becoming heavier than just about any other piece of baggage. It's the baggage that's known as emotional baggage. Emotional baggage. And of course, emotional baggage, I think it shows up in our lives in so many different ways. It looks a lot different probably for all of us. But I think oftentimes, I mean, if you really tried to sum up where this emotional baggage comes from, I think you could say that it oftentimes happens as a result of you and I experiencing pain in our lives, and yet for some reason never really resolving or healing from that pain. And so then what happens is that we end up, I think, internalizing all of those negative things that we've gone through, those feelings, those emotions, and we end up dragging all that baggage with us forward on our journey. We drag that baggage into new scenarios, you know, which happened for many of us to be relationships, right? And so we drag that baggage into relationships, and then it begins to show up in the way we think and unfortunately, the way we even behave. And then, of course, that new relationship suffers, and it's like we get into this cycle that just, it's over and over and over again, and we find ourselves never really being able to go very far in our relationships, which unfortunately is a real problem, because, I mean, it's really hard to get anywhere in life without some good relationships. You know what I'm saying? I mean, whether it's a business relationship or a dating relationship or marriage relationship or even sometimes our relationship with God. And so our emotions are a very, very important part of who we are, a very important part of our lives. And yet it's also an area that I think gets neglected or sometimes maybe even ignored or thought very little of. I think it happens for a few reasons that we don't always think about what's going on beneath the surface. I think many times we're just ignorant. We don't realize the importance of our emotions. I mean, we don't realize the role that our emotions play in our lives. I mean, when in fact, I mean, our emotions play more of a role in our lives than any of us realize. I mean, just think about all the different ways that our emotions impact us. I mean, they impact us mentally, they impact us spiritually, which we're going to talk about in a minute, but they even impact us physically. I mean, which is why, for example, like, let's say when a person experiences, say, the emotion of anger, you know, something happens. He's PO'd, that guy right there. I mean, you know it's bad when you got smoke coming out your ears, right? But I mean, when you get angry, suddenly something happens. Blood begins to flow through your body, begins to flow to your hands, and which makes it easier to say, you know, strangle someone, for example. Or you know, the heart rate increases and adrenaline is released. Same thing with fear. I mean, when a person experiences the emotion of fear, you know what happens? Blood goes to our large skeletal muscles, a.k.a. our legs, and we run, Forrest, run. We get out of there. Well, how about when you experience the emotion of happiness? What happens? Well, it triggers increased activity in that part of our brain that inhibits negative feelings. And so we feel pretty good, and it fosters sort of this increase in energy within us. How about when a person is surprised? What happens when someone's surprised? Show me the face. You guys see, you can see it right there. What happens when you're surprised? Your eyebrows go like 9 inches higher than they normally do, right? And the reason for that is because it gives us a larger visual scope. It allows more light to enter into the retina, which offers more information and makes it easier to figure out what the heck is going on. How about sadness? This is my son, Alex. I can't tell if he was like angry there or if he was really sad. I think it was more anger than sadness, but I thought it was, you know, pretty funny. I mean, as you can see, he takes a lot after his mom. just kidding. I know. May I sleep at your house tonight? Well, when a person becomes sad, what happens? Well, it brings a drop in energy and enthusiasm, and your metabolism begins slowing down. I mean, it's all pretty fascinating if you really take time to study the impact of our emotions. It's fascinating. And what you discover is that our emotions are a very, very important part of who we are. And yet, gosh, so many of us fail at really dealing with them. And I think there's even more reasons than just ignorance. I think sometimes maybe, you know, especially for men, you know, we're kind of taught that, you know, well, it's just not very manly to adjust or to deal with or to talk about your emotions, or for maybe even for a woman, you know, it's not really a proper thing to do or whatever it might be. And so rather than deal with all these emotional issues, what do? We suppress them and we think maybe they'll just go away or something. And then I think there are even those, because I've been around the church all my life, and so I think there's even those who, when they think about emotions, they almost get this idea that to be emotional is like to be less than spiritual or something. And yet, as you begin to open up the scriptures, what you find is actually the opposite. That's right, because what you discover is that not only did God create us emotional beings, but gosh, the Bible actually uses a lot of emotive language when describing God and who he is. I mean, when you begin to open up the scriptures, you see phrases like the anger of the Lord or the steadfast love of the Lord or the grief of the Lord. I mean, a lot of mention of his feelings. I mean, a lot of emotive language used when describing who God is and what he feels. And then, of course, if you've ever taken time to read through the scriptures, like the New Testament, the life of Jesus, you'll find that Jesus experienced all kinds of emotions, didn't he? I mean, as you read about his life, you see that Jesus, I mean, there were moments when Jesus shed tears. There were moments when he was filled with joy. Moments when he grieved, when he became angry. When he was filled with sadness and sorrow and he felt distress. In fact, in Luke chapter 22, we read an account of Jesus, and he's in this place called the Garden of Gethsemane. And what we see here is, without a doubt, I mean, you can't read this and deny the fact that Jesus was, without a doubt, you see that he was very fully human, very, very much so. And he was, and not just was he human, but you see that he was emotionally depressed, he was mentally confused, he was overwhelmed spiritually. and he's facing this brutal death on a cross. He's being pushed to the edge of human limitation, to the point that the Bible says that he falls on the ground, and we're told in Luke 22, verse 44, it says, being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly. Listen to this. And his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. So see, not only does this show the strong humanity of Jesus, but it also goes to show, I think, that expressing our emotions is a very important thing to do and to allow in our lives. And not just in our lives, but even in the spiritual part of our lives. You know, if you were here last weekend, one of the scriptures that we looked at, which I should just let you tell me because you memorize, right, everything I say, right? One of the scriptures we looked at last weekend was found in Matthew 22, and it was that scripture where Jesus said that it really said, this is what all comes down to. It all comes down to loving God and loving people. You remember that? If you weren't here, you should get the podcast. And if you're religious, you'll really love it. But anyway, so Jesus, you know, he was asked, you know, what's the most important thing? And actually what Jesus quotes here is what's known as the Shema, which the Shema is part of the Hebrew tradition, the Hebrew scriptures, and it's found in the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, and it goes like this. Here's the original part of that verse that Jesus quoted over in Matthew. It says this, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." In fact, could we read that whole passage together? Let's read that. It's a beautiful passage. Ready? "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might." See, in other words, what we're saying is, "Your God, we want to love you. We want every part, everything that is within us to worship you and to love you and to serve you, including the part of us that feels and experiences emotion. Every part of our lives." See, our emotions have, I think, a very unique ability to connect us with God in some very powerful ways. In fact, I want to read you this quote that I thought was really good about this exact topic. It's from a book called The Cry of the Soul. And here's the quote. "Ignoring our emotions is turning our back on reality. Listening to our emotions ushers us into reality. And reality is where we meet God. Emotions are the language of the soul. They are the cry that gives the heart a voice. In neglecting our intense emotions, we are false to ourselves and lose a wonderful opportunity to know God." And so see, on one hand, there's this tremendous opportunity through our emotions to experience and know God in some very unique ways. And what I think I'm really hoping that we see here is that you know, having a healthy understanding of our emotions and understanding that they are a very, very important part of our lives. They're important to us in a mental sense, in a physical sense, and even in a very spiritual sense. I think understanding that helps us to become emotionally healthy. Or in some of our cases, staying emotionally healthy. Because, I mean, after all, that's the goal, isn't it? I mean, that's what God wants. I mean, God wants us to be emotionally healthy. See, we forget that sometimes. I mean, sometimes we forget that God is really interested in every single part of our lives, not just the spiritual side. See, but that's what religion does. Religion tells us that, you know, God's really only concerned about one thing, and that is saving your butt from hell and getting it into heaven. Which, of course, is very important. And I mean, what happens after we die is very important. But God also wants us to know that he cares about what happens in our lives even now. See, and the gospel is very holistic. It's not just about our spirit. I mean, God cares about every single part of us. And see, that's why you cannot, listen, this is huge, you cannot separate spiritual health from things like emotional health. I mean, seriously, you cannot be spiritually mature and still be emotionally immature. The two have to work together. And see, what happens if you do that, if there is that disconnect for a period of time, and what happens is there becomes this disconnect that occurs. There's a disconnect. I mean, it's why a person, you can take someone who's a gifted speaker in public, you know, they can do great in crowds of people and yet still be an unloving spouse or parent at home. Or, you know, a person could be in a great position of leadership and yet be completely unteachable. And not only be unteachable, but be insecure and defensive on top of it all. I mean, a person can appear to be the most spiritually mature person in the universe, quoting entire books of the New Testament forwards and backwards, and they can pray King James prayer, you know, using all the these and the thous and the shalls and whatever else they can come up with, and yet still be unaware of the depression and the anger issues that are weighing down them and all their relationships. You can have all the stuff that might make you look successful and yet still have this very, very deep personal need to somehow compensate for this nagging sense of failure deep inside of you. See, when you separate being emotionally healthy from being spiritually healthy, the two just don't sync. Things don't sync up. And eventually, what happens is that our external world, okay, meaning all the people that we relate to and all the things going on around us, it just eventually doesn't match up with what's happening in our interior world. I mean, meaning that what's going on inside of us, the things that we feel, the things we value, the things we fear, hate, love, whatever you want to say, they just don't match up. And see, really, if you think about it, that's exactly why Jesus was so hard on the religious Pharisees, because this was their biggest issue. I mean, there was this huge gap, and it was a gap between what they appeared to be on the outside and what was truly happening on the inside. There was a gap. And the word that Jesus used is the word hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. Because, see, their external world didn't sync up with what was happening on the inside. And so, see, that's why you and I cannot separate being spiritually healthy from being emotionally healthy. And you could even take that even further. I mean, we start talking about how being physically healthy impacts your spiritual health. Being mentally healthy. I mean, we go on. I mean, they all go hand in hand. And see, that's why God cares about all of those aspects, and it's why we should too. So let's get real practical here. If you have your service guide, I want to give you some things that I think will help us keep a good, solid grasp on our emotions, okay? And so that we can make sure that what's happening here, see, here's the goal. We want to make sure that what's happening internally matches with what's happening externally, okay? Now, so these are three things I want you to write down, and these are three things that I think being emotionally healthy requires us to do, and it all begins with this very first one, and it's this right here, the need to, first of all, be aware. Would you say that with me? Be aware. Say it one more time. Ready? Be aware. Turn to the person next to you and say, be aware, would you? Be aware, all right? Be aware. Be aware of what? Well, be aware of several things, okay? For example, being aware, and I think I put these in your notes, there's three things there. They're just three of many things, but the first, being aware of what it is we're feeling. What am I feeling? What am I feeling right now? What emotion am I feeling right now? Am I feeling angry? Am I feeling sad? Am I feeling hopeless? Am I feeling jealous? Am I feeling hurt? What is it that I'm feeling right now? And then I think being aware means taking a step further and asking, you know, what am I actually doing? You know, am I withdrawing from this relationship because of how I feel? Am I treating someone too harsh because of how I feel? Am I being inconsistent with those who I interact with my kids, with my wife, with my friends, whoever it might be, my coworkers? What am I doing? I'll tell you what. I mean, see, these seem so simple, but I wonder how many of us actually pause enough to really ask these kind of questions. I mean, because if you're like me, it's easy just to let it go, isn't it? I mean, it's easy to just feel a certain way and just never deal with it and just let it go. Or it's even easy sometimes to react certain ways to people. I mean, now that part I never do. I don't ever react bad to anyone, okay? Just so you know, I'm just saying, okay? No, I'm kidding. I do. And if you know me, I've probably done that to you, or I will. Or just don't come talk to me afterwards. I might say something to you that I won't take time to reflect on later. No, I'm kidding. Anyway, that's ADD right there. extended release, supposed to be working all day. But anyway, being aware means that I'm being aware of what I'm feeling. It means that I'm being aware of what I'm doing. But it also means I'm aware of how it's impacting other people. You know, what is happening is a result of your actions. Because look, if your actions have caused, or if your emotions have caused you to do some negative things in your life, which they oftentimes do, chances are it's not only impacting you, but it's also impacting other people. See, I mean, this is really, I think, just about getting honest with ourselves. Which is why I think it's important that we all have healthy environments in our lives where we can get honest. I think it's important that we have honest, or healthy relationships. It's important that we have healthy churches. You know, it's why here at The Orchard, we really do place a value and an importance on being a place where people can be honest. You know, a place where authenticity is welcomed and embraced. And the last thing I want this to ever become is a place where every person you walk up to, how are you? Hey, I'm doing great, bless God. Meanwhile, you know, their wife is leaving them. They've lost their job. And their house is being foreclosed on. But hey, bless God, I'm doing great. Woo! No, you're not. Your life sucks. And you just need to be honest about it right now. Oh, see, I mean, authenticity is important. I mean, see, that's a huge reason why I really strive to be a pastor who's very open and real with you. I mean, who's willing not just to share from, you know, the things that I've really gotten down in my life and the things that I've learned, but I'm also willing to share out of my weaknesses and the journey that I'm on right now. I mean, that's the kind of culture we have here at The Orchard, which is why I love. I mean, I would actually go to church here, even if I wasn't the pastor. I would attend church here. I would. I've never been able to say that about a church, ever. But I would go here, and I would go to Saturday nights, too, because I can only imagine what it must be like to sleep in on Sunday mornings. Man. But see, I mean, that's why for some people, you know, if they're looking for a church where the pastor puts himself up on a pedestal and you know, talks to everyone like he's got it all perfected in his life, and, you know, one day you can become just like me. Well, look, if that's what you're looking for, let me just tell you, you are in the wrong place, pal. And besides, if you do find the perfect church, I hate to tell you, but the moment you walk through those doors, it'll no longer be perfect. This would be a good opportunity for me to have a refreshing drink of water. Anyway, so being aware is really about your heart and honestly examining what it is that's going on, because, see, that's where it really begins. It begins in your heart. Look at the scripture, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. See, and that's what's happening, as you constantly stay aware of your feelings and your actions and how those actions are impacting others. And see, because part of being spiritually healthy is also being emotionally healthy, not only do you end up becoming aware of what's happening emotionally in your life, but as you do this, as you just practice being aware, I'm convinced that you will begin gaining tons of clarity as to what your unique purpose in this life is really all about. I mean, see, Jesus had that, didn't he? I mean, he had a very clear sense of why he was here. In fact, the scriptures tell us that on the night before his arrest, Jesus did something really, really powerful. And we're told that he took the role of a servant. And what he did was he got down on his hands and his knees and he washed the feet of his disciples, including one that he knew was going to betray him just a matter of hours. And in John chapter 13, John makes a very interesting statement about this, and he says this in verse 3. He says, Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything and that he had come from God and would return to God. Did you see that? Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything. And he knew that he had come from God and he knew that he would return to God. Jesus knew. Okay, in other words, Jesus was deeply aware of who he was and what he was doing. which in turn, if you think about it, empowered him. It strengthened him. It enabled him to break away from everybody else's expectations of what he should be, including his family, his friends, his disciples, the religious culture, everybody, and allowed him to embrace and to follow God's unique plan for his life because he understood, he knew, he was aware. And I think that being aware of our emotions does the same thing to us. It leads us to an awareness of God's unique plan for our lives, which then gives us the courage and gives us the strength and the guts and the faith to be the people that God has called us to be. And so, anyway, all that to say, we need to be aware. All right, let's bring this back down to our emotions, okay? Because once you have become aware, you have to ask another question, and the question you need to ask is this one. It's not always easy to answer, by the way. It's this one right here. Why? Ask why. Ask why. Everyone say why. Why? Why? You ever ask yourself that? Why am I this way? Why am I feeling this way? Why do I feel discouraged? Why do I feel angry? Why do I feel, fill in the blank, whatever. See, this is a question I think that most of us, we just don't take time to ask. And so what happens is, you know, let's say we might start out our day or suddenly one day we wake up and we feel a certain way, certain emotion, and we don't quite understand it. But instead of pausing and asking why am I feeling this way so that we can understand it and hopefully move past it, we just keep going. Going and going, and oftentimes we end up allowing it to dictate our day, or our week, or our month, or maybe even longer. Now, here's a great example of that. A couple years ago, I started noticing this pattern in my life that was happening pretty much every week for me. And what would happen is that almost every Sunday night, and sometimes it would start Sunday afternoon, sometimes even on my drive home from the church, no matter how great of a weekend we had, didn't matter, no matter how great it was, I would go home and I would feel absolutely discouraged about everything. That's right, all day, all night, I was a huge pain in the butt. I would be negative. I would think about every part of the weekend that went wrong instead of what went right. I'd start making notes. I would start emailing people. I would start making phone calls. It just wasn't good. I would just be in a funk, and I'd feel awful. My body would ache, my head hurt. I mean, it was like I was having a hangover, but without having the fun the night before. Just kidding. It was awful. It was awful. And then one day I heard a pastor friend of mine talk about this, and he talked about the kind of toll that a weekend has on a pastor and on a communicator. And many of you know exactly what I'm talking about because you have this in your own job with what you do and maybe in a different way. But he talked about how there is just this immense amount of adrenaline that's released, and because, of course, you know, you're giving it everything you've got. I mean, you're thinking about it all day, all night. You wake up, you're giving it the best energy you have, and then you add into the mix of doing it two times, three times, however many times a weekend. Well, it takes time for your body to recover from that. In fact, he shared how studies have showed that it can literally take hours, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 hours or so, for your body to recover from the effects of that kind of adrenaline rush. Bottom line for me is I was exhausted. That was it. I was exhausted. I remember thinking, I got to go to counseling. My staff tells me, Scott, you better go to counseling. Especially after your emails that you send this on Sunday afternoon. I was exhausted. It was affecting me physically. It was affecting me emotionally. It was affecting me spiritually. And so, see, taking time to really say why and to begin talking to other people even about it begin to help me to be able to make some adjustments in my Sundays, my Sunday nights, and my Mondays. And now sometimes I'm still a little grumpy once in a while. But you know what? I don't trust that because I know I'm exhausted. See, why? It's a powerful question. And I think it's one of the reasons that Jesus asked so many why questions. Do you ever notice that? Jesus constantly asked why. I mean, do you remember the story? You may not know this, but if you know the story about the Samaritan woman at the well, Jesus kept asking why questions. Why? Why? What, you know, why are you here in the middle of the day? You know, why are you running from husband to husband? Why? Because, see, he knew that in order to help her, he was going to have to get beneath the surface. And that's what those why questions do, is they help us to get beneath the surface. See, I'm convinced that, like I could be wrong, but this is just a guess, but 50, 60%, 70% maybe even of why going to counselors can be very helpful to us is not because the counselor has some magical words to say to us, but because we're actually forced to sit down and talk through some things that we normally don't take time to talk through. I mean, these kind of questions help us to go beneath the surface. I mean, Jesus, I mean, we saw that with the Pharisees. Jesus would ask, why? Why are you behaving like you are? And so it's the same thing for us. Why is it that I'm always late just for that meeting with that person? Why is it that I always get in the worst fights with my spouse on the way to church in the car? Why is it that I always look, whenever I get an email from this person, let's say I got an email, why did I take that so personally? Why do I have so much anxiety about this conversation that I know I need to have this week? Oh, man, it's killing me. I hate it. Why is it so important to me that I succeed? Why do I feel like I have the need to say yes to everybody who asks me to do anything for them? I'm telling you, asking those why questions are huge. They're huge. Didn't say easy. Because it takes courage to ask those kind of questions. It really does. I mean, it really does. Why am I, you know, why am I really, what am I really feeling in this situation? What really might be going on here? It's not always easy, especially when that feeling that you have is a negative one or what you perceive as a negative emotion. Maybe it's fear or hate or jealousy or depression or whatever it might be. And here's the other thing. Here's, I think, another benefit in asking that why question. It's because if you can't figure out why, and you've asked the question, but you can't figure out why, that's a good indicator that you need to reach out beyond yourself for some help and some clarity, which might mean finding a Christian counselor, which here at the Orchard, we believe in that. We'll help you with that. Or someone, maybe it's going to someone you know in your life that you can trust and that has wisdom, like we talked about the other day, and who can help you to kind of work through some of these feelings. But see, once you discover why, it allows us to do the third thing that I think is so important, and especially if we're going to be emotionally healthy, it allows us to be wise. Be wise. Would you say that with me? Be wise. Be wise. I tell you, being wise is sure it's a lot easier to be wise once you have some clarity on some of these emotions you're facing. For example, and probably most of you have experienced this, I can honestly say that probably the majority of my biggest mistakes in life were mistakes that I made when I was in a highly emotional frame of mind. I mean, think about that for a second. I mean, chances are the things that you regret doing the most were things that you did or said or participated in when you were in a highly emotional frame of mind. And so for me, what I've had to learn and what I am continuing to learn is to hit the pause button once in a while. Hit the pause button and because see, our emotions are so tricky, aren't they? It's funny because at the beginning of this talk, I'm telling you that our emotions connect us to God and this beautiful thing, and now I'm telling you that your emotions pretty much screw you up. And it's like, but see, they do that, don't they? It's like on one hand, they're beautiful, but on the other hand, they have the ability to really mess us up. They're tricky. I mean, you cannot always trust your emotions. You can't. And that's the tough thing, because while on one hand, they're such a beautiful part of who we are, man, they can also lead us into making some horrible, horrible mistakes. Because our emotions are like this, aren't they, a lot? Roller coaster ride. And depending on what you're going through in your life, I mean, there were seasons of my life when we were going through transition as a church, and we were making tons of changes, and people were angry, and we were just about falling apart as a church. We almost had to shut the doors. I mean, for me at that time, it was an emotional. There'd be one day I was talking to my friend Dave Ferguson over at Community Christian. He was like my counselor guru during that time of my life. And I remember going to Dave and saying, Dave, Dave, I think we're going to fail. Dave, it's all going to go downhill. We're going to fail. And then the next minute I'd be like, Dave, I think it's great, man. God's doing some great things. I think it's going to work. And then the next day I'd be like, Dave, we're going. And Dave would just sit, and he would just look at me and say, Scott, don't trust your emotions right now. Because sometimes our emotions are like that, aren't they? Up and down. For some of us, it's like zigzag, upside down, every which way, right? You know, we see this, though, in the life of David. I mean, if you're dysfunctional, read David, because you'll be really encouraged by his life. I am. I'm serious. But he was a guy who was very honest about what he was feeling. Look at this. Psalm 13. O Lord, verse 1. O Lord, how long will you forget me? Forever? How long will you look the other way? Now, let me just ask you a question. Do you ever feel like that? Be honest about it. Do you ever feel like God is nowhere to be seen in your life? Do you ever feel like God is turning his head on you? Not just not looking at you, but he's actually turning his head on you. And so David says, how long will you look the other way? How long must I struggle with anguish in my soul, with sorrow in my heart every day? How long will my enemy have the upper hand? In verse 3, he says, turn and answer me, O Lord my God. Restore the sparkle to my eyes, or I will die. Don't let my enemies gloat, saying, we have defeated him. Don't let them rejoice at my downfall. I would say that David's emotions are telling him a lot of things right about now. I mean, and he's pretty honest, but notice, if you keep reading, he doesn't stop there. Because I think that while David, while those feelings might have certainly seemed very real to David, I think there was something that he knew was even more real and more true. And you see this if you keep reading verse 5, but I trust in your unfailing love. I will rejoice because you have rescued me. I will sing to the Lord because he is good to me. See, on the surface, David looks a little bit schizophrenic, doesn't he? But I think that part of being wise in our lives is being willing in the midst of those emotions that might be up one minute and down the next, to hold on and put our trust and our faith in those things that never, ever, ever change. And see, that's the beauty of who God is. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Which means that his promises never change. In fact, the Bible says he never says no to his promises, including the promise that he will never, ever leave us or forsake us, or the promise of wisdom in our lives. In fact, here's the promise right here in James chapter 1. Listen to this. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. See, that's what our emotions do to us, don't they? Verse 7, such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. And so our faith, our hope, our peace is found not in our fluctuating emotions or our fluctuating economy, right? It is found in the one who never, ever, ever changes. And the one who invites us and who has invited us, we saw at the very beginning of this series, to release that baggage from our lives, and who says these words right here, come to me all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. You know, when you came in today, there was a card on your seat. Would you hand me one of those? Yeah, thank you. There's one of these on your seat. Would you take that out for just a second? I'll tell you what. I know that God has been doing some pretty incredible things in our hearts over these past few weeks. He has mine. And I know so many of you as well. And I know there's a lot of you who you've identified, and maybe you came in that first week and you were one of the people who sat there and said, well, this should be good for those who have baggage. And then as the weeks went by, you realized that you were one of them. But I think that's what's happened. A lot of us have come to discover that, you know what, there is some baggage going on. There are some things I'm holding on to, whether it's the past, whether it's a pride or addiction or religion or insecurities, or we could just go on down the list. Maybe it wasn't even one we talked about. Maybe it's emotional baggage, whatever it might be. But here's my hope and my prayer is that you will continue to take steps forward as God helps you to release this baggage from your life. And chances are it's not going to happen overnight. It could, but it's probably going to take some time. But here's what I know. God is most definitely ready to receive it. And I think our part is, first and foremost, we just have to be willing to let it go. And so here's what I'd like to ask you to do. We're going to sing in a minute. Would you take a moment? And would you write down on this card whatever it is you feel like God has shown you is areas of baggage in your life that you need to release? And here's what I want us to do. We're going to sing and we're going to worship for a couple minutes. And then I'm going to ask you before you go today to take this card. On your way out, there's going to be suitcases by the door. Would you take that card that you've written things down on? This is your baggage that you want to release to God. Would you drop it in that suitcase? And as you do that, would you allow that to be a step of faith in your life? Would you allow that to be a moment of surrender? A way of saying, God, here it is. I'm ready and I'm willing to let it go. What a powerful way to end this series we've been in, Baggage. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Well, so here we are, God. And it seems like whenever we bring a close to a series, on one hand, I'm excited because of what's next. But on the other hand, I get a little bit, I don't know what the word is. I guess I get a little bit nervous, or I get concerned that maybe there'd be some who would just walk away from the series and end up just being the same as they were coming into it. God, I don't want that. And neither do you. And while I know that this is one of those series that really does cause us to get honest with ourselves, it causes us a little bit of pain even in the process to ask some of those hard questions. God, I just also know that what could be on the other side of this for many of us could be one of the most amazing experiences of our entire lives. And there's places, God, that you want to take us in our lives. There's places you want to take us emotionally and physically and spiritually and mentally, God, that will surpass anything we've ever experienced before. And so, God, I pray that you would fill us with your courage and with your strength and with your faith. And today, God, we're going to write down on that card those areas. Maybe for some of us it's one area, maybe for others it's 9 or 10 areas, whatever it is. We're going to write that down, and we're going to sing, and we're going to worship you. And then as we leave here, we're going to take that card, we're going to drop it in the suitcase by the doors on our way out. And as we do that, God, we are reaching out in faith, and we are saying, God, here it is. It's yours. It's yours. We give it to you. We surrender it to you. And we're going to take all that we've learned these last several weeks, and we're going to do what we can do, and we're going to trust you to do the part that we can't do. And when it's all said and done, we're going to be changed. Thank you for that, God. And we receive that tonight, Lord. We pray it now together in your Son's name. Amen.